Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Concealed carry license renewed. Thing about this guy, Dan, is that whenever we're together, his daughter, Ava, is my bodyguard. And I would recruit his other daughter, Leah, except she's in college right now. So when she becomes my bodyguard, she'll be able to say something like the elite police dismisses us or something. Before she deals with any threats that might be coming my way. Now,
let's talk about the coup. First of all, Andrew McCabe got up on 60 Minutes and he said some things that, there's this phrase called moments of candor. He had an entire segment of candor. He broached the idea. He admitted during this interview that he and other top FBI and Justice Department officials seriously considered taking steps, including invoking the 25th Amendment, to remove President Trump from office in the spring of 2017. Now, that just sounded like a statement that I just made, right? Like I just read it, right? I just put it out there. I just said this, right? This is one of these things. Where if it had come to pass, this would have created a civil war situation. Let me explain. If we were to wake up one morning and we had Andrew McCabe or James Comey or Rosenstein or whoever on TV saying today in a what was viewed as an unfortunate but necessary action, it has been decided to remove President Trump from office. We've also removed Vice President Pence from office. And as of this moment, the military is in charge of the nation. Well, the first thing I would be doing was, you know how we hear all the time about. And listen, I've been listening to the news all day about this. What's his name? Hurd, the Republican that's out there saying, well, I prefer to do things in a bipartisan way. Pal, if you're a Republican and you believe there's a bipartisan way, your constituents elected a fool. Okay. So, for all these times where Congress gets out there and says, well, you know, the integrity and the power and it rests solely here. Okay, well, you guys had better be doing something, right? You'd better be doing something, because if you don't, we will. So this was actually a discussion in the United States of a coup. Now, there's a difference between doing a coup in the United States and, say, doing a coup anywhere else. In the United States right now, you got 20 million plus veterans walking around who believe in the Constitution. To a man. I can find a leftist guy that's a military veteran, and if I push him hard enough, he'll be like, hey, I believe my oath. I believe in the Constitution. I just don't, you know, I'm a social Democrat. Okay, fine. Well, I need you to pick this up and come with me. And he will. He will. So the difference between staging a coup in a banana republic and here is that we are armed, deep state. And I hope you heard that. We are armed. The deep state operates primarily because, you know, the deep state doesn't have some army or something out there that can come in here and swoop in and take control of anything. So we can use the word coup d'etat to describe what McCabe and the other deep state players were cooking up in secret. And even a few Democrats are using the coup word. And this is the same thing. And here's the thing. This is why this is not desirable. This could happen to anybody. Right. I just saw some stuff talking about the
the incoming attorney general. The attorney general is supposed to execute the laws. He's the top cop, right? He's supposed to execute. He's not supposed to make policy. He's not supposed to do anything other than just react, right? Something happens here, I react. Something happens here, I react. You're not supposed to be proactive in the way of trying to create policy. Now, that's not the way it actually works, of course, but that's the way it should work. Now, this is what McCabe had to say about Rod Rosenstein. Let's talk about Rod Rosenstein. He's the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. He was the acting Attorney General for this case. And he is suggesting using the 25th Amendment that was written to take care of a problem of Woodrow Wilson having a stroke or President Reagan being shot and being on the operating table. These guys, McCabe, Rosenstein et al., were watching House of Cards instead of reading the Constitution. See, these guys can't invoke the 25th Amendment. They can't. They're just peons. They're not policymakers. They can't roll in there. They're not in a leadership position anywhere in the legislative branch. That's who would have to do it, I think. But the 25th Amendment is applicable only if you're incapacitated. It is not a substitute for impeachment. If Trump has done something criminal, fine, impeach him. And if Rosenstein actually thought about and suggested wiring the president, he should be fired. No pension, buddy. Thanks for your service, you turncoat. Be glad that I don't have a cricket bat as you head out the door. You don't get to resign. You should be disgraced. The IG should be looking at this right now. This was a moment that you didn't know about that was as close as we've ever come to a coup. Parkland had nothing to do with guns. Besides, that was the tool he used. Let me explain something to you. With one of these types of, with the rampage killer, we don't, calling one of these guys, first of all, an active shooter is a term like assault weapon. When I go to the range, I am actively shooting. So this is trying to make you into them. So I call them rampage killers. So with a rampage killer, they have five phases they all go through. They have the fantasy phase. This is where they literally sit there and they're thinking about, oh, if I did this, everybody'd know who I was. And they'll draw pictures of it and write it out and everything. Sometimes they'll actually sit down with one of their trusted friends and say, I'm going to do this. This is one of the moments where if a professional were to find out about this, this could be stopped. But most of the time, this is thought of as crazy talk, or at least heretofore. So this is how this slips past. Then there's the planning phase. And this is where the guy's sitting down, and it's inevitably going to be a guy in most cases. They sit down and say who, what, when, and where, how, and why. And they're documenting all of this stuff. All of them document it somehow. With the exception of Las Vegas, which is the anomaly. They're going to document who they want to kill, who they think they'll accomplish by doing it. And then they'll try to explain the reason for this intended action. If you find that plan on a hard drive or a hard copy before the event, this means that somebody caught him. And that's always a good day. These plans or the manifestos are often so hateful, They're not mistaken. Then there's the preparation phase. This is where they actually have to gather the items they need to succeed. They must buy or steal them. And they'll also visit the scene on a regular basis to gather intelligence as they finalize the plan. This is a phase where a family member or a citizen or a school employee or a businessman or a police officer might take notice and do something about it. And once again, you could save lives. The fourth phase is the approach. This is the dry run. This is where they actually dress up like they're going to go. And if somebody notices this person again, maybe they've noticed them before when they were in the preparation phase. And now they're like, okay, this guy's all in black. He's got his face covered and he's out here in front of this school. Why? They call, once again, you can intercede. And the fifth phase is the implementation phase. And at that point, there is no way to intercede except to stop the rampage killer in the middle of the rampage killing. Once they start killing, these attackers are going for a top score. And what is needed is an immediate and effective, efficient act of courage. Time is a horrible enemy in one of these things because the average kill ratio per minute is 3. So for every minute, 3 people are dying. There is no more prevention at that point. There's only stopping. This is where the unfortunate circumstances, in order to stop the rampage killer, the James Holmeses and the Nicholas Cruises of the world, these guys are extremely rare because most of the time they're either going to die at the hands of the police or kill themselves. So that's what the shooter in Parkland went through prior to this. He went through all those steps. Now, what have we gotten out of Parkland? Nothing has changed in Parkland, except for Scott Israel is no longer the sheriff. Most of the same dysfunctional officials that were in charge then are still in charge, running this dystopian show in Broward County. Broward is Florida's version of San Francisco or New York City. There is, and Israel is the one possible positive exception. But Parkland was a perfect storm of collective failure. The FBI failed. The Obama educational standards, which the whole reason this occurred or was allowed to occur, and it was allowed to occur, was that they adopted the it takes a village approach via the Obama administration to tell Florida, this is how you treat your students. This felony right here does not apply to these students. This felony right here does not apply to these students. We want them to be students, not convicts. Now, the Broward County Public School officials were aware for over a year of Cruz's school shooting obsession. Israel's deputies hung out with, I mean, they visited him 30 plus times. Did they ever think to say, excuse me, punk kid, have you got any guns? Because you're talking about shooting up a school. You got any guns? Okay, well, we're going to take these guns. And we're going to arrest you for making public threats. That's why we're taking the guns. They didn't ever do that. They failed to act on that anytime. After Parkland, the sheriff proclaimed himself to be a fantastic, amazing leader. Whenever you're looking at one of these events as they occur, it's sort of hard to look at these things and let them unfold in front of you in real time. Because if you did that and you looked at all the real time that elapsed where law enforcement and Parkland officials were receiving tips from the classmates, then you're sitting there going, how did this actually happen? Today, now, I will see this. Local law enforcement was somewhat limited in what they could do prior. But, you know, unless you're making a threat against something that is specific, you do have to make a threat against something that is specific. The superintendent of schools said he was unaware of Cruz's threats. And how the Democrats respond to this or any tragedy is sort of a Rorschach test as to how they're going to handle things, anything. The entrances to Parkland are still unmanned and unsecured. Newly elected Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for being ambitious. Should we blame her for being bold? Because normally, being ambitious and bold is that ever a bad thing? Her most ambitious, boldestest proposal is not exactly without precedent. We've had a decade of quantitative easing. We've been running deficits forever. whether it's Republicans or Democrats. And when you have some tracks that are as well greased up as our debt-ridden tracks, she probably thought her Green New Deal would just glide on that just so smoothly. We could be derisive and point out her withdrawn fact where the Congresswoman's staff accidentally posted on the web and sent out to reporters. But keep your balance near those computer keyboards, people. Remember, those answers to a ton of questions about this complete remaking of the economy and society as a whole was unfinished. It wasn't done. And erroneously said things like the Green New Deal would be guaranteeing economic security for all who were unable or unwilling to work. So let's cut the Green Congresswoman some slack now, shall we? Now, slack, whether you're cutting slack or not, a reading of the actual totalitarian-esque, not yet withdrawn House resolution calling for a new national social, industrial, and economic mobilization on a scale not seen since World War II and the New Deal era, and labeling it a historic opportunity, makes it all clear. The fact was spot on. Timing wasn't exactly on her side when she rolled out the Green New Deal, though. Who knew that days after the Green New Deal offered to Americans the notion that high-speed train travel could be a human right? And that's, listen, climate change is a religion, so you got to do it all on faith. The deepest blue state governor, Gavin Newsom, or as I call him, Hair Man, stopped California's high-speed train project in their tracks, looking at cost and declaring, let's be real here. Of course, he stopped it, then he's trying to start it again because, well, gosh, he's Gavin Newsom or Hairman. But nonetheless, the Green New Deal enthusiastically promised to create millions of good high-wage jobs, provide unprecedented levels of prosperity and economic security for all people, and counteract systemic injustices. But what are we going to do after lunch? The Green New Deal would have to produce a plethora of new positions in their much highly trumpeted new green economy. After wiping out of millions of jobs, after wiping out private health insurance and the fossil fuel industry, you're talking, I don't know, somewhere along the lines of 13 million jobs altogether. And who knows where else? Meanwhile, you got 100 Democrats in Congress, including four declared presidential candidates, which are Senators Cory Spartacus Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand, or as I call her, brainless, Kamala Harris, the best-looking attorney general in the United States, and Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren. And they've all rushed in to endorse the Green New Deal resolution for the Uber Unlimited government. And now the Republicans, they decided to take on a little bit of stand-up here. Mitch McConnell announced that he will generously bring the Green New Deal to a vote in the U.S. in the Senate and help Ocasio-Cortez in the upper house in putting Senate sponsor Edward Markey, a Massachusetts Democrat, and all of the senators squarely on the record. Just as it should be. Wait, what? On the record? Or is he just being a napping turtle? He's morphing the Green New Deal from a harmless progressive virtue signaling prompt into a weaponized boomerang. And he's going to bop the Democrats in their Bolshevikian behinds with it, perhaps. I don't know. The comeuppances would be, you know, they're going to come at that point, according to this rationale, when the public realizes just how humongously big government would be if only Democrats were voting. So let's vote. Sean Hannity said, I'm going to stand up for Ocasio-Cortez. I think she's probably the most honest, extreme, radical Democratic socialist in the country and what she's saying, what they have been wanting to do incrementally for years. So let's give AOC her due. Just when Big Brother most needed a facelift, she's brought a fresh, young energy to the tired, old-fashioned socialism. And she's leading the Democrats out of the shadows. We should be thanking her. One day, green energy will be real. I mean, that is an inevitability. Right now, it is not. Green energy is not real. Last year, I bought a car. I bought a 2018 Ford Explorer. For a moment in time, I considered the Tesla 3. About the same price after all the rebates and everything else. The only problem is that I'm not... Batteries, I have many things that have batteries. Cameras, phones, computers. None of the batteries ever get better with age. They hold a charge really good at the beginning, and then that begins to diminish over time. Now, the bottom of a Tesla, the whole bottom of the Tesla is a battery. What's that cost when you have to replace that one? Plus, with Tesla, wherever you go, whatever you do, Tesla knows. You're logged in with Tesla. Tesla is a rolling iPhone. So I decided not to go with a Tesla, and I went with a Ford instead. I got the Explorer because the cops have them. So the problem is that with a Tesla, this is the other problem. Now, since they upped their prices on charging a Tesla, it costs more to charge a Tesla than it does to fill up my Ford Explorer with gas. Yeah. And it'd be sort of, it's hypocritical to be sitting there going, I'm trying to save the environment by having a Tesla, when you're using energy that was brought to you by coal or fossil fuel or something, because wind doesn't bring anything to you. Solar brings less. So when I heard this story about Jussie Smollett, now, first of all, I thought a Jussie Smollett was like something they served at a really upscale sushi bar. I didn't know that was a person. I've never seen the show Empire, so I didn't know who it was. I was a little perturbed when this story broke that he had been assaulted in an apparent racist / homophobic attack. I'm a pretty good observer of people, but I cannot tell you your sexual preference by looking at you. So these guys, these attackers, these were obviously some desperados. Or maybe you were like me and you thought it was a little fishy from the very beginning. But, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt until the details emerge. Quite unrealistic, the details as they emerged. If a criminal has the time to tie a noose around your neck and shout, "This is MAGA country," in your face, you're probably going to notice a few specific details about their features and their clothing and the way they smell, stuff like that. When was the last time a black man in Chicago was attacked in the middle of the night because he was black or gay? Now, if he'd been robbed because they wanted his money or his watch or his car, or if gangsters mistook him for somebody else, okay, that happens. That happens. Yes, that does happen. But this was not the case. Additionally, when this happened, the night of the attack, it was freezing. Now, in Chicago especially, when it gets hot in Chicago, when the temperature goes up in Chicago, well, hey, that's when crime goes up. When it's cold, since it goes up when it's hotter, you can presume it goes down when it's cooler. So when it's freezing, well, I don't know. Wouldn't Mr. Smollett have been bundled up? I wouldn't recognize him on the red carpet. How am I going to recognize him if he's wearing a parka with the hood up during an Arctic blizzard? How's an attacker going to recognize him and target him specifically because of his skin color and his lifestyle in a blizzard? Or was this a a story. Was this a was this the 21st century Tawana Brawley? Who remembers that one? See, if here's the thing about racism. Racism, yeah, it exists. Absolutely it does. It does not exist in this form. Racism is in the shadows. And in the moments when we actually find real racism, it should be stamped out like a roach. And having instances like this, where we try to create this false narrative, where we know a bunch of people are just going to take my word for it, hashtag me too, and level all these charges against no one. White guys wearing MAGA hats. I've never physically seen a MAGA hat. I've seen them, you know, in the news and everything. I've never physically seen one. But here we have a story that appears to have been fabricated to divide Americans. And I'm hearing that Jesse Smollett and his team are negotiating as to when he will talk to the police again. I'll have to remember that the next time I get pulled over. Excuse me, sir, while you're sitting there and about to write my ticket, I think you need to know that I'm on my way to Starbucks. I'm very busy, very important. And my lawyer will contact you and let you know when it's more convenient for me to sit here and take your ticket. I mean, who else gets to do that one? Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem with these stories that come up. See, this story is no longer going to serve its intended purpose to destroy Trump. So his left-wing media allies will sweep it under the rug as quickly as possible. But here's some useful takeaways. One, political correctness forbade us from calling this what it was. We self-censored ourselves. Number two, the media wanted this story to be true. They have such disdain for Trump and you, if you support him, that they were willing to believe that lie before the investigation even began. That's a big one. Democrats wanted this story to be true. No victims, no votes. When you stop to think about it, it seems like Democrats don't want racism to end. Which is why gun controllers can't wait for the next rampage killer. They're always looking for a reason to control you. Any reason they can take, any reason they can find, they'll do it. Number four, J.C. Smollett is not a good guy. Hate crime legislation is sort of stupid. If you're going to charge a person for a crime, charge them for the actual crime they've committed. And it's a safe bet that most violent criminals have malice in their heart. But tacking on additional time based on feelings isn't justice. Really, truly, it isn't. But if there's anybody that should be charged here with a hate crime, it would be Smollett. This guy was trying to create race riots. Imagine if black Democrats had begun physically assaulting Trump supporters because they believed Smollett's story. Then what? What do you think happens then? Now, Chicago, they might get away with that. If that spreads, what do you think happens? Smollett hates Trump so much that he either didn't care or he think that is of the havoc that his lie could have wreaked across America. Number five, America isn't the place Democrats say it is. What does it say about America if you have a gay, rich black man that pretends to be a victim of a racist, homophobic crime? If you have to make it up. See, here's the thing about these. They don't happen very often. They're very rare. They're very rare. It also tells us most Americans are too consumed with their own lives to care about Smollett's race and sexual preference. I think Americans in general appreciate diversity.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.